Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is Bleav and Georgia Dogs Podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network.
Scored a touchdown earlier on a direct snap. Now it's Michelle's turn, running all the way. Gets to the edge. Sonny Michelle will send the Dogs home to the championship game.
53 and a half yard drive near hash. Kick right. Snap. Hold. Kick is away. It's reaching. And it is good. 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 Hot Pod does it. All right. Hot Pod.
Wilcox with an up and out. Wide open. Touchdown. Israel Truth.
All right, welcome back. It is a fresh edition of the Bleav in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Bleav Podcast Network, the number one podcasting network for professionals. It's the beginning of summer for Israel and I, but Israel is the owner of Daddy Daycare right now. Israel, what's up, man?
What's going on, man? I got my little girls running around here, and I got security system people here installing our new system at our house, and I'm actually in the middle of fixing one of our sprinkler head because it shot off like a rocket this morning. So We got a lot going on today, but hey, we can never get enough of Georgia football, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah, that's sounds like a fun day. Well, I'm answering phones for a budget disposal. So if you need a dumpster, call me. I can hook you up. Maybe. Who knows? But joining us is another guest, brand new to the Bleav Network, also brand new to UGASports.com. That family just keeps growing and growing and growing. And he is a recruiting guru. It's the host of Recruiting Every Second with the play on SEC in second. It's Blaine Gilmer. What's up, man?
Hey, thank you for having me on, guys. I'm excited to talk a little Bulldog recruiting here.
Absolutely. Well, he's got Chick-fil-A on his mind, so it's all good. Blaine, your go-to today. What are you getting from Chick-fil-A?
I think I'm gonna get a spicy deluxe sandwich, man. I'm gonna kick it up a notch on the heat level and maybe get some pepper jack on it. So we're gonna do it right today.
Attaboy. And as cheesy as it sounds, it's going to be a spicy show as well. So, Blaine, real quick, at the top of the show, and then when we close, just let us know where we can find you on social media.
Absolutely. So you can catch the show's Twitter account. My Recruiting Every Second show on Bleav Podcast Network is at recruiting_SEC. You can follow me, myself, using at BGilmer18. And, of course, anything Georgia recruiting or Georgia team-based, go to UGASports.com. We'll have it all covered over there.
Absolutely, man. And you can find our show at Bleav in Dogs. You can find Israel at TroopStar28. And you can find me at CoachBurton36. So we are presented by BetOnline.ag. Any NBA action going on for you, Blaine? Do you follow the NBA?
No NBA action, man. I'm just tired of seeing LeBron roll around on the ground right now. I'm trying to see what'll happen going forward. Maybe that should be a bet. How many times does LeBron roll around on the ground during a game?
Well, I bet they have a prop on that. Israel, are you getting in on the action?
Man, no, I can't. Like Blaine said, I can't get in with people flopping. You know, we grew up in the Michael Jordan, Pistons and Celtics age where, you know, people get hacked every time they go to the basket.
Mm-hmm.
People begging for fouls then. Now they're crying for them. So I can't get with it. But I do – I did see where Russell Westbrook said something that was very important, you know, about fans. You know, I'm all for trash talking and things like that. But the disrespect that fans are showing players these days is crazy. As you know, Ron Artest goes up in the stands a couple of years ago. You know, he's dang near banned from the league. So, I mean, we got to do something to protect the players.
Absolutely.
You know, you can't be throwing stuff at them. You know, trash talking is fine. You know, most people, you know, it goes in one ear and out the other. But as far as, like, the physical contact of players, you know, we've got to do something about that.
Yeah, you got to protect the players, and that's second to none. Because if you don't have any players, you don't have a product. So, absolutely, and you could probably bet on LeBron's flops. They have you covered. This Bet Online is the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So do like we've done. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Well, let's get into the show. The dead period, Blaine, is being lifted on June 1st, which means people are eligible to visit on campus the way they used to be. So the first question before we get into who's visiting UGA over the course of the month of June, with the dead period, what are you anticipating in general, and then how is it going to affect Georgia specifically with decommitments and people changing their minds based on now I get to finally go see these campuses live and in person?
And the only way I can describe it is controlled chaos. I mean, it's going to be like, you ever seen like when people take cows out to a cell and they're mm-hmm. just running them through all that? It's going to be like a cattle run, man. I mean, there it's no more the pleasantries of camp of, hey, you get to go swimming and you get to go, you know, eat over here and all this kind of stuff. Now this is more combine style oriented. Guys are going to get official measurements, all this kind of stuff, because they've just got a slew of these guys coming through that they haven't seen how their bodies have changed in 18 months, haven't been able to put in person, you know, eyes on them in person, get up close and personal evaluations of these guys, see how they respond to maybe some adversity, things like that. So guys are going to be going up and down recruiting boards. As you mentioned, there's going to be across the country, not just specific to Georgia, but across the country, is going to be a lot of a flurry of commitments, maybe a flurry of decommitments. It's going to be a jam-packed month of June, and Georgia is not exempt from that. They're going to have a ton going on even here in the first week of June coming up.
Absolutely. Israel, what you know, are you on board with the well, not on board, but are you in line with the thinking of, hey, we better prepare for some decommitments? Or do you think Georgia can stabilize their class? Or do you think we're solid enough that we're not going to get a ton?
I think we're pretty solid. But, I mean, you never know who may come through the cracks. I mean, now that, like Blaine alluded to, now that kids are able to go to combines and stuff, because, you know, that's what it comes down to. Coaches want to see these guys perform. And, you know, through the pandemic, they were never able to see a lot of these guys perform, like, in front of them. You know, you see them on film, but it's different when they're in front of you. So I think we may pick up some new ones. I know we're jam-packed now. A lot of our kids are going to different camps this year. So I'm excited for the camp scene to get back going. You know, I'm excited to see these kids get a chance to go out and be recruited and see these campuses and you know, make a choice based on, you know, what they see, you know, and not just video calls now. Because, you know, when you go to Athens in person, it's totally different than just talking to Coach Smart and the position coaches over the phone. So I'm excited for this time of year.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm juiced up, and you know, June 4th weekend, it's gonna get cranked up pretty early and pretty good. I think when you're looking at the list, Blaine, or you and Israel, either one of you can chime in on this, but you have Branson Robinson, Oscar Delt, Addison Nichols, Kojo Antwi, Denylon Morset, and Aaron Bryant, and that's just a few. Maybe you get Tyree West and Gunnar Stockton as well that are looking to visit maybe that first weekend. Well, you know, of that list, I mean, you got Denylon Morset as a verbal commit. How important are these commits mixed in with some of these targets as far as these visits go?
Well, Denylon Morset and Gunnar Stockton have already been putting in a bunch of work on Oscar Delp and Kojo Antwi as they play with them on the Hustle Inc. 7-on-7 organization. They've already been working those guys like crazy, but having them in Athens to kind of go say, hey, look, this is what could happen if we all come here together, that'll be huge. Maybe the biggest one of the whole weekend is the five-star safety, Kamari Wilson, that's coming in from IMG. He's going to be there that first weekend as well. And, man, Kamari Wilson, if Georgia could land him to pair beside Malachi Starks from Jefferson in that class, that's you talk about fortifying the back end of the defense for some time to come. That would be huge for the Georgia Bulldogs there. Addison Nichols, another guy who really, really high on Georgia. But, yes, you're right, having those commitments there, Denylon, Gunner, to kind of spearhead that operation and get guys, you know, excited about Georgia, that's huge for the Dogs.
Yeah, no doubt.
Just think about the things that Rich LeCount was able to do. Just by him committing to the Dogs and you know, putting everything out on social media and the fact that these guys know each other already, and mix that with them being on campus and getting to see the guys that are already there, getting to see the body of work that those coaches have put in and the things that they've instilled. I mean, that's huge, you know, just being on campus, you know, seeing guys that are there, you know, letting those guys tell their story. You know, that's a big part of commitment. I mean, recruiting, you know, is getting the guys who are there, telling them how great it is to, if we can do that and get this class to continue to recruit the way they're doing, I mean, sky's the limit for this recruiting class moving forward.
Yeah, no doubt. Go ahead, Blaine.
I was gonna say there's also two other guys that are kind of important too. Marquise Groves Killebrew, he's a commit, and then of course Bear Alexander. He's not going to be coming in on that official weekend, but he's going to be coming in the first and staying a couple of days in unofficial capacity. It's big that they continue to really go after those guys, because Marquise Groves Killebrew has a visit planned to Michigan, official visit, and Bear Alexander is committed to Georgia, but Nick Williams, his main recruiter, just left and went to Texas A&M. That could affect Kojo Antwi as well, Deion Bowie. So a lot going on here in this first week.
Yeah, I was going to say with Bear Alexander, I mean, you know, does Texas and Texas A&M play a big factor into his recruiting? Is Sark going to sneak in on a few of these guys?
I think Sark is more of a – yeah. Go ahead. Israel, sorry about that.
No, you're good. I think he does, because, I mean, like you said, Nick just went to Texas A&M, you know, and Nick was a huge, huge part of getting South Georgia kids, you know, Bowie and, you know, guys like that. And with Bear Alexander, you know, being one of his guys, you know, him going to Texas A&M is going to be huge in trying to keep him, you know, a solid commitment. We still have Tyree West out here at Tifton. You know, is one guy that we got to keep our paws on too. So it's going to be crazy these next couple of months, see exactly how everything unfolds.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, you know, I'm reading the UGA Sports, the vault, and it looks like, you know, it looks like we got, you know, Justin Benton, another defensive lineman, set to visit on June 10th. He's a 2023 kid. The defensive line recruiting has been outstanding with Bear Alexander, Tyree West in this class. You can get, you know, you have a chance at Justin Benton in the next class. It's going to be crazy coming up here soon.
Yeah, Trey Scott has really put in tremendous work in this 2022 class. Don't forget, Darius Smith out of Appling County is currently committed to Georgia in the class of 2022. Big 6'6" kid with a huge wingspan. So they've got a lot really going on up front defensively, and, you know, got a big guy, defensive end, outside linebacker, hybrid type guy up from Philadelphia, and Anai White coming to visit that second week, the 11th through the 13th. So you're absolutely right. A lot of lot going on in that front seven for Georgia as it, as these visits come about.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking right before we went on, speaking of like big time visitors, I've heard that a certain quarterback from a certain family, one being Arch Manning, is visiting Athens late in June. I cannot wait to see Uncle Peyton wear some red and black. I think that'd be incredible. Are you hearing anything on him? What's the latest with him? I feel like it's going to be pretty tight to the chest there.
Well, you know, Israel knows this too. I mean, anytime you're dealing with those guys, the Mannings, everything's going to be buttoned up. Everything's going to be 100%, you know, politically correct and done just the most first class way possible. And with said that, you're not going to know much about Arch Manning. He's going to kind of come and go very quietly. He's not going to have a lot of social media presence, do very little interviews. But I cannot imagine if Georgia were to maybe that connection with, you know, Matt Luke formerly being at Ole Miss and the relationship he had with Eli Manning there, maybe that plays a little bit of a part. But if Kirby Smart's able to land Arch Manning in some way or fashion, you know the crap that he will give Peyton Manning. Those two are no stranger to being able to go back and forth with one another.
Oh man, I'm excited for it, Israel. I think getting a big time quarterback. When you look at Arch Manning's game, Israel, and you look at Gunnar Stockton, you look at Brock Vandegrift, I'm not so sure that Gunnar Stockton is solid if Arch Manning commits. I'm not so sure that Arch Manning doesn't come in and beat those guys out. I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be interesting if he commits and what'll happen when he comes in.
And I think it's a race. You know, we still got Carson Beck. We all know that JT Daniels is going to have a great season this year. He'll take his talents to the NFL. So now you have, what, four quarterbacks in mm-hmm. that room now, four five-star quarterbacks at that. So somebody's going to leave, you know. So if he does decide to come, I'll be great to have him. But at the end of the day, you know, you still got to compete, yeah. You know. So I think whoever doesn't win that job is going to end up, you know, transferring, things like that. But the main thing for this situation is, if I could tell these guys anything, go somewhere that you're going to play and you're going to be happy, and somewhere where you want it. And of course they're wanted at Georgia. But at the same time, you got to understand only one person to play quarterback. And yeah. You know, if you're not, you know, in that guy, or you don't think that you're that guy, you know, go somewhere that you're going to play, you know, cause I hate to see the transfer portal is a mess now. So I would tell my son the same thing. I know you love that school. I know you this, that, and third, but you want to play football at the end of the day. So go somewhere where it's going to make you happy. But at the end of the day, I would love to see, you know, a Manning in wearing the red and black.
That would be outstanding. Yeah, that. I mean, I saw a few of the throws that he's made in his highlight reel, and I'm just in awe of what he can do and his skill set and his talents and things like that. I mean, he might be better than Uncle Peyton. I know that's a bold statement, but I don't know, man. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you're coming from a family of quarterbacks, you know, and I mean, hey, you pretty much don't have a choice but to be great at that position. You got so much talent within that family, and now, you know, now you're center stage, and you know, don't get the big head, now just go to work and, you know, do what's right for you at the end of the day.
Exactly. That's what Peyton did. You know, Peyton decided to blaze his own trail at Tennessee. Maybe Arch does the same thing. Who knows? Time will tell. Blaine, Kamari Wilson visiting June 4th. Is he IMG safety 6'1"? Is he committing? Is he going to commit on that trip? Is he all dog? What are you hearing on him?
I mean, he's certainly not bashful about posting his praise for Georgia on social media. So, you know, in terms of that, I would say if I had to pinpoint a guy or two that is most likely to commit early on here in June, Kamari Wilson would definitely be up there. Oscar Delp, Branson Robinson could be, you know, one and done with their visits as well. I mean, Oscar Delp is going to obviously visit Clemson and South Carolina because of family connections. But I do think those are all three guys that could commit early. And then, you know, I mean, man, it, in terms of IMG, you got that third weekend there with guys like Tyler Booker, Keon Saab, Dalen Everett, and Jihad Campbell. Like, you know, we were talking before, IMG could end up being a huge pipeline to Athens in this class of 2022.
Yeah, no doubt. It's crazy, man. This whole recruiting thing is, you know, I think even more so than other years, it's been spiced up. But you know, Israel, what are your thoughts on that on the early June visitors?
I love the early June visitors. You know, simply because, all right, think about it this way. When I was there, if we could have got guys on campus right now, you get to see everything during the summertime. And, you know, during the summertime, when you're at Georgia, is pretty much one of the best times outside of football season, because it's not the hustle and bustle like normal. You know, you go to class and go to workouts, then you have pretty much the day free. You know, you get to show those guys, all right, this is what we do, going to the pool, you know, chilling with the fellas, you know, doing things like that. And the nightlife and the day life in Athens now is absolutely ridiculous. They have so much stuff now. I mean, they have a Waffle House and a Zaxby's and everything downtown now.
Oh, yeah.
So just showing these guys the campus and showing, you know, what life can be like, you know, in Athens is going to be huge for the recruiting process. Like we said earlier, Corey, you and I've been there, Blaine, you're there now. There's nothing like being in Athens, especially during football season, but during the off season too, as a player. You know, you get that downtime, you get to relax for a little bit and kind of get to enjoy yourself. I think that's going to be the selling point for these guys when they get there.
Yeah, it's downtown is, as a recruiting tool, it's been insane.
Yeah, and I was also going to talk too about the facilities, guys. The brand new $80 million worth of facilities, the brand new weight room, practice facility, coaches' offices, you know, training pools, all that kind of stuff. Jim Donnan talked about it on the UGA Sports Live podcast. You can check out over on the UGA Sports YouTube channel and also on the website. But he said he was just blown away by it. It boggled his mind, as even being a former head coach of Georgia, just what is going on there. So these guys that are visiting in June are going to be hit with that right up front. Just what a tool that is for Kirby Smart and company. And it's been a long time coming there in Athens with these additions.
Man, yeah, it's I can't wait. And let's talk transfer portal a little bit. Are we done in the transfer portal, or what are you hearing on that front?
No, I don't think you're done in the transfer portal. There's some, let's just say, some complicated situations. A couple of them that are high profile. I think everybody knows about, with Darren Kendrick and Arik Gilbert. And if you want all the latest inside scoop of that, make sure to head over to UGASports.com. But those are two things that are percolating underneath the surface. A lot of ins and outs to those situations. But could they end up at Georgia? Very much so. Is it a done deal on either one? Not going to go out and say that. But if all I can say is, if Georgia ends up pulling out Arik Gilbert and Darren Kendrick from Clemson, man, the odds, I would think, over in Vegas — he's talking about Bet Online earlier — I think the odds in Vegas would go way down for Georgia. Like, you better get on the plus 800 and stuff like that now, because it's gonna you know, it's Georgia's odds of winning the title would go way up adding two physical specimens like that to their roster.
Yeah, exactly. NCAA futures, if you want to jump in on that, there you go. But yeah, I think it's you know, I think the Arik Gilbert saga just keeps turning and turning and turning. I feel like it's a soap opera now, right, Israel?
Yeah, I think it's a little too much for just one kid. You know, everybody's all investing in this kid, and for me, you know, I'm all about production. I'm all about results. And that's one thing that Kirby Smart is about too. And for me, I hadn't really done anything yet to make me, you know, be so excited about it. You know what I mean? I know I saw him in high school. I know what he could do in high school. I've seen that. But I want to see him at the college level with kids his same size, his same speed, you know. But at the end of the day, if he did come to Georgia, I mean, I would be excited, because now we got him, Washington, that whole group, Burton, all those guys that can go to work on the outside. And all we got to do is protect and shoot. I mean, like Blaine said, Vegas and BetOnline is going to be licking their chops at these money lines coming up here soon if that happens.
Right now, it's plus 700. So, yeah, you're getting, you know, you bet 10, you get 70 if Georgia wins the national championship. We can have a little fun with some of these odds numbers if you want. What do you think Bama's sitting at?
I don't even know.
I'm not great at I'm not the prognosticator of the betting lines, but I, you know, obviously they've got to have the best odds of anybody. The Alabama,
they're,
you know,
plus just 260, then Clemson, then Ohio State, then Georgia. Then you know, I think I don't even know why they put Vanderbilt in the odds. they put Vanderbilt at plus 100,000 maybe. Let's see if I put in $5, I could win.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, I could win. It's plus 10,000, I think. I bet five. I could win 5,000 if Vanderbilt wins the national championship. So, They have Memphis. They have Army in here. Kansas with Lance Leopold. I don't know. You might want to jump in plus 10,000 on Kansas. So it's pretty crazy, guys. With these odds, it's a lot of fun. I did a little bit of betting on college football this past season. Won a few, lost a few, kind of broke even. Which I guess if you're in the betting world, you break even. That's a good thing. So
yeah.
But are we looking at any other receivers to add in the transfer portal?
I don't see anybody out there that is pressing right now in terms of the guy they got to have. But, you know, there's always, man, as crazy as stuff is and how it's changing every day, there's not to say somebody won't pop in there late. But I think truly what you're looking at is if Arik Gilbert comes, he will be utilized a lot as a wide receiver. They're going to split him out and single him up as an X if he comes there, put him on the backside of, you know, RPOs where they can run, you know, zone read, read the inside backer, throw a slant in behind it, all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. run a fade with him in the red zone, because he's the closest thing to a George Pickens out there that's available in terms of body size, athleticism, ability. So I think that could be – that's why it would be even bigger if Georgia is able to bring in Arik Gilbert if it's that situation works out with all that's going on. If he's able to come in, that would kind of kill two birds with one stone for Georgia in terms of adding to that receiving core a little bit too. So
a little 13 personnel packages. Yeah, Israel.
Exactly. I think he's going to be used a lot like Florida did with Kyle Pitts. You know, they use Kyle Pitts in line. They use him in inside slot. They use him outside, like Blaine said, the X or the Z. You know, so you get a kid like that with that much athleticism, you can't just keep him in the box. You know, he's big enough to go up and get the ball over cornerbacks, and he's athletic enough to beat linebackers because they can't cover him. So it's scary to realize how much he could bring and how much talent around him, you know, that George could have if he does decide to commit and come on. And, you know, and be committed. That's one thing that I'm worried about, just him being committed to the process.
Mm-hmm. But you guys are both coaches. Imagine what you're thinking or what you're telling your defensive coordinator on the headset when you see, okay, here's the personnel coming in. They got Darnell Washington, Brock Bowers, and Arik Gilbert all on the field at the same time. Call your coverage. Put your package in.
Ooh, yeah, I'm telling my coordinator. Depending on who the one receiver is, probably Arian Smith. Hey, I'm saying, let's play off man, blitz, and hope we can get pressure on the quarterback. I mean, I don't know what you do with those guys. I mean, if you don't get pressure, you're not gonna be able to cover them. You know, I mean, do you double Arik Gilbert? No, because you got LeBron James. I mean, Darnell Washington down there at tight end, or, you know, you double Darnell and you got Arian Smith taking the top off of it, or Jermaine Burton, or whoever the lone X is over there, or Brock Bowers. I mean, pick your poison, right? Or we can just hand it to Zamir or James Cook, and cram it down your throat too, if we want to. So this gives Todd Monken literally carte blanche of doing whatever he wants. And it's just an embarrassment of riches with the offensive weapons. I mean, you know, you look at the current team coming in, and we'll get to Brandon Turnage here in a little bit, Blaine, but you know, you look at the current offensive weapons that we employ, that we bring in, you know, as a recruiting tool, you have to think that this is clue number 1,237,852 that Georgia is going to open up their offense, right? You bring in all these weapons. Arik Gilbert is on the forefront of coming over from the portal. I mean, what more do you need? And Israel, you and I talked about this last episode. What more do you need to figure out that, hey, Georgia's gonna open up things and unleash the ball and they're gonna score some points and I guess we finally learned our lesson. So I think it's a great recruiting tool. I think when you look at Kojo, he's probably looking at this thing going, okay, they're going to open up. This is fun. I'm going to go play in this offense, right?
Exactly. You got to look at every team that's in the SEC right now. You know, let's take an example of Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher comes in. You know, he's ground and pound, power counter type of coach. They started using RPOs. They started using quick pass. They started getting the ball to their playmakers. All right. So now look at Ole Miss. They're bringing Lane Kiffin because they want the same thing. And that's what they're doing. You know, you look at Alabama, how much their offenses have evolved. You know, you look at all these teams in the SEC and you're wondering, when's Georgia going to do it? And now, after throwing 652 passes in the spring game, you're starting to realize that, hey, Georgia's about to do the same thing now. So if I'm a recruit and I'm looking at it, I'm like, and you got to think, Georgia's the best team in the East, bar none. You know, we might fluke up and lose to Florida, you know, last year, but I don't think that's going to happen again. So, you know, Alabama's Alabama, you know. So you know that Georgia's going to be playing the SEC championship game no matter what. Mm-hmm. So if I'm looking at that, I'm looking at it like they're going to throw me the ball. They got a guy that can throw the ball. They got three guys behind them that can also throw the ball. I know exactly where I want to go. Because I'm going to play. And Georgia does a great job of getting all those guys on the field at some point. You know, we got all those running backs and all of them, dang, they ran for, 300 yards at least, all of them. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're going to play. As long as you're producing, you're going to play. So that's what I'm looking at if I'm being recruited. Will I get to play? What type of offense we're running? And, you know, do I have a chance to ultimately win a national championship? I think if you look at Georgia right now, everything's set up for us to do that. Soon rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Blaine, when you look at this as a recruiting tool, when you look at this, you know, you bring on Adonai Mitchell, you bring on, guys, you know, younger guys like that, you bring on some of these receivers and it just keeps building and building and building. You know, looking at it before the spring game, I didn't think Adonai Mitchell, I thought he was going to be somebody that was going to kind of be on the outskirts, maybe get some special teams, get a few looks here and there, polish his route running, and look to contribute mostly next year and going forward. But looking at him in the spring game, he's going to be a contributor now. And so for recruiting purposes, that's got to play a huge factor, right? You know, when you look at offenses and how these guys contribute, because Kirby is showing, hey, we got all these playmakers. It doesn't matter if you're a freshman. If you're good and you can and you can produce, you're going to get on the field. And Israel, you hit the nail on the head on that. So, Blaine, what do you think about Adonai Mitchell? What kind of, you know, Justin Robinson, those two, what contributions are they going to make? Are they going to be regular starters, rotational guys, you know, big time players towards the end of the season? How do you see their freshman years kind of shaking out?
Depending on how Marcus Rosemary Jackson comes back, and he certainly looks healthy, but there's a difference between being able to run routes and being able to take contact and stuff like that. Depending on how he comes back, Adonai Mitchell could start off the year as you're starting next. I mean, he could be the guy who's the number one at the X position. So I look for him to be a big contributor, whether he ends up being the starter or if he's just a rotational type guy. And then, you know, on top of that, I think the biggest freshman, and obviously we all know that JT Daniels is going to be the starting quarterback, but I wrote a piece not too long ago talking about, I think Brock Vandegrift's 2021 is imperative to how Georgia recruits quarterbacks going forward. I think that if Georgia raises their average first downs per game from 21 average first downs per game to upwards of that 28-29 level that LSU and Alabama have been at the last two teams to win a national championship, if they get up towards that level and they're running upwards of the mid-70s to low-80s type plays per game versus the mid-60s like they've been, there's enough plays in that game to give Brock Vandergriff a small package of plays and say, okay, Brock, we're going to utilize your legs and be able to do run-pass option stuff with you in these certain things. To do that, to be able to say, hey, if you're a five-star quarterback, no, you may not be the guy right away, but come to Georgia, we're going to find a way to use you. You're going to find a way to play because everybody knows how the saga has been with the Justin Fields stuff and all that. This would be a great opportunity. You know, you talked about Gunnar Stockton, Archman, and all these guys that could be coming in behind. This would be a great opportunity for Kirby Smart to send a message to say, hey, great players are going to find ways to play, like Israel said.
Yeah, Israel, thoughts on that? Would, you know, as offensive coordinators, I have to think about this for a minute, so I'm going to let you go. I'm going to turn the mic over to you. But as far as finding packages for whoever your number two is, I think Carson Beck can do a lot of those things as well. You know, is there some merit to that? Because you bring in another quarterback, maybe you throw off the rhythm of JT Daniels. How do you feel about that possibility?
You stay with JT and let him roll, and then you see what happens next year. You know what I mean? If JT's struggling, now we look into that. You know what I mean? Because for me right now, you know, with my quarterback situation, my starter, he does a great job. But my backup, he's just a sophomore. Well, he's an upcoming sophomore, you know. So if my senior struggles, you know, I can always move him to receiver or something, and my sophomore can take over. So you always kind of have to find that happy balance in between, because you always want to let the starter know that he's a starter. Mm-hmm. You know, and that nobody's going to take his job. But at the end of the day, you always have to have somebody ready because there's injuries. You know, there's something that could happen to where, hey, next man up, and you got to be ready to roll. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where you kind of look at your offense, see what they can and can't do, see what they're better at, you know. And if there is a package that you can go in, kind of like what Tebow did when Chris Leak was still the starter. You know, Tebow was there. You know, we all knew Chris Leak was going to start, but they built a package that Tebow could do. You know, get him some game reps, you know, against top SEC teams and in the national championship game that year. Get him some reps in, then the next year, boom, look to see what happens. So, you know, give your starter, you know, 90% of the reps, and then, you know, let those guys battle it out to see who gets the rest of them. So I'm all for it.
Go ahead, Blaine.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I'm not – in no way am I advocating for any kind of, like, just interruption of JT. I'm saying in a clear and structured way, being able to say, okay, Brock, this week you have these 8 to 10 plays that we have an opportunity to run with you, and we could do it, like you said, Israel, in a red zone package if we're, you know, let's say – they're up by 2 touchdowns, something like that. Just an opportunity to give Brock some game experience in these full capacity stadiums that are going to be this fall, give him a little confidence going forward. And I don't think that Brock Vandergriff is going to be the number two at any point this year. I'm just saying specialized packages. I think going into the first game, Stetson Bennett's going to be your backup quarterback. If JT Daniels goes down with a sprained ankle in the first quarter, Stetson Bennett's going to be the guy to go in, and he has the most experience, he's the most comfortable. But I think it's either going to be Stetson or Carson that ends up being the number two. But I'm saying get Brock that experience, like you said, Israel, for the next year ahead, because everybody knows the kind of potential that he has.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, what he can do with his legs, what he can do just slinging the ball down the field and taking advantage of some open zones, I think that's going to be paramount. So, you know, I think when you look at the quarterback situation, it's going to get interesting. So, I think the quarterback position is something that, as we go through and progress through fall camp, that backup role, that job is far from being awarded. And so we'll see kind of how that shakes out. See who comes to the top of the pile on that. And I think that'll be telling as far as what the plans are, as far as getting experience, things like that, or having, you know, Stetson as your emergency guy if you need it, have some specialty stuff for Brock and or Carson, depending on who wins that battle. Does Carson leave? Does, what's going to happen there? We'll find all that out, I guess, as we move into camp. But let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. Two big transfers come in at the defensive back position, Tyke Smith and Brandon Turnage. You know, I'm really excited about both. I think Turnage is very versatile. I think Tyke Smith gives us some experience and leadership at that cornerback position, coming in with his old coach from West Virginia, essentially following him. You know, what impact is that going to have on the DB room? What are the contributions of these guys? You know, Jalen Kimber and Keely Ringo. How do they factor in? You know, what's to make of this defensive back rooms with the two transfers and some of the youth that we have over there?
Like we said earlier, Corey, let these guys go out and play ball.
Israel, I'm going to defer to you. Israel, I'm going to defer to you first as a coach, man. What's your thoughts on the defensive secondary?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, just turn them loose. Be aggressive. You know, what? Why not? I mean, if we get a Reed Gilbert, then really turn them loose, right? Just go balls to the wall and say, okay, you're gonna have to score 100 points on us to win anyway, so hey, let's get it done, right? So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about these two guys. I think they bring in some skill sets that we didn't already have. You know, you have Chris Smith at safety. He's taking over for Richard LeCount. Maybe Turnage is kind of that, you know, Swiss Army knife back there, where he's in some packages where he's at safety, maybe he's a nickel corner, you know, maybe he slots in over at corner. Maybe they move some guys around. Maybe they find some slots for Jalen Kimber on the inside, you know, and you got Latavius Breeny as well. That factors in. So I think you've got possibilities now. I think you're starting to build that DB room, like you're starting to build that wide receiver room, where you have a bunch of guys that can do a bunch of different things. And, you know, sky's the limit as far as creativity goes with coverages and things you can do, personnel packages. So I'm excited just as much as I am for the emergence of the wide receiver room. Right, Blaine?
Yeah, I mean, Tyke Smith was huge, absolutely monumental to what Georgia's trying to do. Having that guy who can, you know, obviously everybody's had to come in and earn a spot, but a guy who's expected to come in and lock down that star role. He's a very sure tackler, you know, tackles well in space and is able to cover as well, as picked some balls off for West Virginia during his time there. So Tyke Smith's going to be a tremendous asset to keep from overloading guys on the back end, from having to cross train as much, do too much, that don't have a ton of experience. There were talks before about guys like Dan Jackson, a walk-on from North Hall High School, guys like David Daniel, who's be a true freshman from Woodstock. They were going to have to be maybe even forced into some duty, but maybe that trickle down effect, now they don't have to play as early or as much as needed, can still rotate in, helps out. And then Brandon Turnage, I think, again, he's another body, another depth guy, but not a ton of experience there. So having that experience of Tyke Smith is huge. And then corner, you know, between Keely Ringo, Nyland Green, who I think has a real chance to start, you know, over Jalen Kimber before the year's done with. But Nyland Green, Jalen Kimber, those three guys, Amir Speed thrown in there as well. So you got a good little rotation. It's just gaining that experience, and the only way you can gain it is go out and play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's sky's the limit with all this talent. So before we let you go, Blaine, we got a lot of visits coming up. I'm going to put you on the spot here for a few predictions. We're going to start with Flinte Carswell. You called him Flip Carswell. You wrote an article about this guy, 6'7", 275. He's a real small cat, you know.
I just saw him on Twitter.
Playing offensive line in basketball, right? What is your prediction on him? What are you thinking there?
There's just so much that's left to be seen. I mean, he in his interview with me told me how he knows that he needs to work on his flexibility. He needs to work on his being able to sustain blocks because he's just brand new to football, right? So I think Georgia Tech jumped out there early for him, went out way on a limb. I think they're going to have a special bond with him going forward. And honestly, I think even though he's special talent, I think there's some guys that Georgia's going to like better than him. I'm not putting him out of the realm of possibility. I do think he walks away after his visit or not too long after his visit with an offer from Georgia. But as far as commitment, we'll just have to see a little wait.
Going to Ole Miss.
See how his first true season goes down there at Washington County.
All right. Rapid fire. Okay. Israel, I'll call on you as well. Rapid fire prediction.
It's really hard.
And you can say, if you're not sure where else they would commit, you could just say other, or if you have an idea of where they could go, certainly throw that out there. But as of today, May 28th, 2021, before the June visits, let's start with Brandon Robinson. Prediction. Blaine, go.
I think if he comes and he loves Georgia, his visit, I think Georgia is on his radar. But like Blaine said, I think
same here. Oscar Delp. Now. I think I know where you're going here, Blaine.
It's Georgia now.
Georgia.
Addison Nichols.
Georgia.
Yeah, I'm going other two. Kojo Antwi.
A&M.
Hoping Georgia, but I'm thinking, I'm afraid you're right. A&M. Delano Morissette, is he going to get a job after he finishes his NFL career as Georgia's lead recruiter? I mean, he's going to be solid, so I'm excited about that. Aaron Bryant from South Haven, Mississippi. Defensive tackle.
I'm going to say other. I think he could either end up at one of the Mississippi schools or even late at Alabama, maybe.
I'm going to say
I'm saying he's hopping aboard the lane train. I think the lane train is rolling. Keon Sapp.
Other.
Exactly. It shouldn't even be a question. Tyler Booker, IMG, coming in middle of June. Prediction?
I'm going to say Florida right now. Florida or Alabama. I think Georgia's got some ground to make up on Tyler.
I think I'm going to go with Georgia right now, but I think if he has a pretty good camp and a dang good season, I think he'll pick up something else too.
I'm going to say upset. I'm going to say Georgia. I'm going to say Georgia here. I think we're going to flip him.
The only reason I think that is, I mean, you look at the Georgia's tackle situation, they're so loaded at tackle. Tyler Booker could go to Florida and play immediately.
Yeah, that's true. But they've shown that people aren't afraid. They're not afraid to compete. So,
I think other two.
I'm going to say we get him, right? Just so I can be different. Keon Sapp, we offered his brother, class of 2026, 6'2 athlete.
There's going to be a lot of those guys.
I say Georgia.
In this class or classes, you know, after them.
Keon Sapp, you put me on the spot with all these guys right now. There's so much to do with the defensive backs. I think there's a silent commit in the defensive backfield for 2022 right now that I obviously can't say. So I'm going to say Keon Sapp goes to Clemson.
Get on that trail. Mindset that he has is we want to keep these guys home. We want to bring some new ones in to help us win this thing. It's gonna get scary. This recruiting season is gonna be pretty exciting to watch.
All right, a few more here. Dalen Everett,
other.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, I think other. Jihad Campbell.
I think he could end up at Georgia. I think before it's said and done, he could end up at Georgia because Georgia only has one outside linebacker and Jalen Walker there, and they may end up taking another one. If they decide to take more than one, other than, you know, of course, Anai White, I'm going to say other, or Georgia.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Georgia. And I think the last one, Catron Allen, I think since Branson Robinson feels like a dog, I think Catron Allen is other.
Yeah, I think other too.
No, I mean, everybody be safe, you know, Big Red. And playing out there. So make sure you got your sunscreen and you're hydrating and all that good stuff. If you're outside, and to all the guys that are going to camp, the guys being recruited, good luck to you, and go Dogs as usual.
Yeah, no doubt. It is. And June is going to be like, I feel like every weekend, you know, Blaine, you're probably going to be pretty busy. So I guess that's a good thing, right? So
yeah, it's a great thing.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Well, Blaine, I'm glad we were able to get you on. I'm glad we were able to get you before you started scarfing down your Chick-fil-A and got that Friday post lunch lull going on, or that where you're counting down to the weekend. So it's going to be a big Memorial Day weekend. So we're gonna keep that as a stopping point. We will, Blaine. I want to have you on sometime in the middle of June, and then after all the June visits are done,
yes, that is a huge things, young man too. By the way,
I guess calm down for a bit. We can kind of unpack everything and see where the dust settled and see who went where, see where our predictions were, see if we were right, wrong, or maybe still on the table, or maybe some things have changed. So I'm looking forward to that. Israel, before we go, any last words from you? And if you're down in Albany this fall, go check out Monroe. They got some brand new turf. They got a brand new offensive system. Some guy named Israel Troop is their offensive coordinator. I don't know. He's pretty good. Pretty exciting stuff. Blaine, one last, anything you want to talk about your upcoming episodes on Recruiting Every Second? Or what's going on UJ Sports, or just in general?
In terms of Recruiting Every Second, going to have we do deep dives with other people on the Believe Podcast Network. So I got one with Jordan Dollinger from Ole Miss coming up next week. Did an interview that released when we're recording this today on Friday the 28th with Grant Godfrey and Sammy Brown, who are two big time prospects in the state of Georgia, North Gwinnett and Jefferson respectively. So got that going on, but one little cliffhanger on the 2022 class, a name you need to watch out for: Cason Henry, offensive tackle from Walton. He's going to be visiting, and that could be one that ends up being part of this class. So,
Okay. Yes. Okay. That's an interesting name right there. So stay tuned for that. Check out Recruiting Every Second. Check out Blaine on the Believe Podcast Network. So we welcome him to the greatest podcast network in the world, where we have lots of great shows and lots of great things going on. So the SEC coverage on this network is incredible. So we want to welcome Blaine there. Go check him out on UGA Sports. He probably hadn't had enough time to really capture the true essence of the dog vent, but he will. You will. I know you will, Blaine, especially on game day. It's a check your brain at the door type situation, so be ready for that. But I want to send you guys off to the Memorial Day weekend on a great note. Again, thanks, Blaine, for jumping on. We are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast presented by betonline.ag. Rate, subscribe, review, give us a listen, give us a follow at Believe in Dogs on all social media, at TroopStar28, at CoachBurton36 on Twitter. Instagram, it's the same, except for me. I'm at Burton.Corey on Instagram. So follow us, like our show, and as always, and Blaine, I'm going to include you on this one too. As always, go Dogs.
In my new role, I gotta stay officially non-biased, you know, on my new role here. So, but yeah, man, y'all, I enjoyed it. I appreciate being on.
I had to put you on the spot one more time. Israel, hit us up with it. Go Dogs. Yes, sir. All right, cool. Oh, I like that.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.